before you hooked up with Billy Idol, I know you were in a band that recorded at Chris Blackwell's studio in the Bahamas, where you would meet the singer Robert Palmer, who you eventually recorded with. What are your memories of Robert?
I knew Robert for so many, for decades, because years before recording with Billy Idol, I went down with my band, the Fine Malibus, to the Bahamas, to Compass Point Studios. And we went down with Jimmy Miller, the producer of the Rolling Stones. And the record was never released, but lo and behold, in walks Robert Palmer, who lives across the street from the studio. And he heard us, recording, and he pulled me aside, and he said, you're a great guitar player, man. It may not happen for you with this band, but you've got something really special. And he asked me to go help him record some demos across the street, and we did that, and he started playing me some James Brown things, and we became friends. And every time he passed through New York, he'd give me a call, and eventually, when I joined Billy Idol, we stayed in contact. And then when Billy and I were recording Whiplash Smile was when Robert was doing the Power Station.
Right.
So we spent a lot of time together during that, and just maintained our friendship. And then finally I got the call to go record his record, Don't Explain, which was recorded while he was living in Milan, Italy. To this day, one of the most enjoyable album sessions that I had ever done. And he was the ultimate host and just a really cool guy. And, for me to be in the studio with a guy who had played all those same clubs with, Beck and Page and recalled, the first time he saw Hendrix and hanging out and jamming with Hendrix. And, that point of reference, I just soaked that stuff up.
Yeah. He was a very eclectic musical guy.
And really knowledgeable about music, especially jazz. Huge Miles Davis fan. And it was challenging working with him because he knew all the notes and chords,
Yeah.
if a passage came up and, he said, oh, well, can you play a flat 9th here? I was like, Robert, I don't know what you're... And he'd pick up the guitar and show me, So really... an incredible guy and humble beyond humble.
Back to the time when you joined Billy Idol, being that you were a very serious music student, was it considered something of a slap in the face to some of your colleagues when you hooked up with Billy Idol? I'm thinking, punk rock at the time, while it was increasing in its audience share, might have been still looked down upon by, serious musicians.
In all honesty, I was working with a guy who had a record deal, and we were going to make a record. And, all my serious so-called musician friends, could say all they want from the basement of their parents' house. But I was, from the time I joined Billy, the agenda was to write some songs and rehearse our band and head to Los Angeles to record his first solo record. And I just felt it, a challenge. Billy wasn't looking to recreate Generation X. He certainly wouldn't have hired me if that was the case. He was looking to move into other areas, and it was challenging in a totally different way. I was being asked to create guitar textures and things well beyond just the notes. So that can be more difficult sometimes than trying to play a Randy Rhoads solo or something.
So Billy was very receptive to your musical input.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and it still is to this day, a give and take situation where, I'll throw out the ultimate, and we had an expression called the punk police. The punk police would come in and find the root of what I was doing and try and say the most with the least amount of notes. And there's something to be said for that, There are certainly guitarists that I hear that I think could do with a little bit of self-editing.
you speak in the present tense, so what is the working relationship with you and Billy these days?
We just finished a couple of new tracks for a Greatest Hits record. So the state of record labels the way they are right now. Billy's ended up over at EMI, and they're going to re-release the greatest hits with some new stuff on it. And then we head out on the road to tour that in June.
So it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've worked consistently together since I moved to Los Angeles, somehow we make it work. You know, we're vastly different people, but we respect each other. I think that's where it comes from. You know, I really genuinely love the guy, and I think he's got a big heart. You know, you're lucky to find, either in musical terms or in marriage or in family terms, you're lucky to find somebody that you can have a relationship with after 25 years. And I think the fans that come see us, certainly the long-standing fans that now bring their kids and stuff, it means so much to them, because they see these two guys on stage that have outlived, you know, in some cases they've lost family members or their marriage has crumbled, but we're still there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, you know, and I honor that. I take that very seriously.
You've played and endorsed a few different guitars in your career, but now you're using Les Pauls pretty much. Is that right?
Yeah. With Memory Crash, it's 90% Les Pauls, with the exception of John Sir guitars. You know, it's just a guitar I started on. I got my first Les Paul when I was 15, and I'm really comfortable on it. And it's still a guitar. It's just a rock and roll guitar for me. You know, I'm not exactly a man of large stature, so it's a small-bodied guitar. You know, if I was up there with a Gibson 175, you probably wouldn't see me behind it. So Les Paul's been good to me, you know, and I have a lot of them, so I play them.